The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Well, let's start the insanity. Giddy up.
New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
Yes, moments before hitting record. I'm not even drunk, I swear, says my co-host. I think the Packers maybe were saying the same things to themselves for long stretches of this game. What a mess, you guys. A frustrating watch this week for sure. 28-22 is the final score in Green Bay. The Vikings holding on to beat the Packers. There's a lot to unpack with this one this week. And I am glad to be joined, although I wish it was under better circumstances, for the first time this season on the Rapid Recap pod by my good buddy, Alex Patakis. How are you, man?
I'm doing okay. I wish it was under better circumstances. Nice to get a game on national TV, which enables me to be on this. Frustrated, yeah, to say the least, I guess would be the way I would describe my feelings. And not drunk, I swear, despite my flushed cheeks, as only you could see.
Actually, we're doing you did the preemptive toast a couple months ago to me on air for closing on the house, which we haven't done yet. But today we have what they call the final walkthrough after I record this. So we're going to close soon. And then we will toast on air. But that's why I'm sober, because I didn't want to show up to our final walkthrough.
Cheers to you.
Thank you. Let's just get right into it, man. The Packers had no answers for Dalvin Cook. 30 carries for 163 yards and 3 touchdowns on the ground. Meanwhile, 2 catches for 63 yards and 1 touchdown. I'm glad you're here, because you like to talk about the obvious guy. Dalvin Cook, indeed, was the obvious guy in this one.
Yeah, just exposing the Packers for so many things. Their inability to stop the run, their really, really terrible tackling, which has become a theme, and a screen that, just brought back some memories of Alvin Kamara doing the same thing, who was the other obvious guy. Yeah. One of my friends texted me during this game, and I feel like somewhere somebody has to, like, know this, because stats are... People keep track of every single thing that happens on planet Earth, but the Packers have to be really high in the rankings of giving up career days to guys. And I feel like if we just sat here and wanted to create a list of guys who've had, like, just their best game ever against the Packers, we'd be able to come up with like 10 guys. But Dalvin Cook feels like one of those guys. It was brutal. And oddly enough, they got the stop at the end.
Yep.
And I thought Minnesota might throw a wrinkle in, because, I don't know, why not, right? The Packers weren't stopping much, but I'm not going to – it was nice, because it salvaged the game from an entertainment value for me, and made it feel like something, you know, worth watching to the end. But all in all, like, there, you know, when it was 28-14, that game was like almost something you want to turn off, because it just doesn't feel good to watch your team look like, just completely incapable of stopping the thing that everybody knows is coming. Yeah. And that's becoming concerning to me, man. Because you have 3 days to prepare for a team that's going to run the ball down your throat, like, as much as possible, and has already done it in a championship game. So, not to get ahead of ourselves on this podcast, but, I feel like I was really strongly in one camp to a few weeks ago, and now I'm like, are the Packers that different?
You know? Yeah. Your certainty.
Games like this, like, scar you.
Your certainty quotient is dramatically reduced, I think.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, the fact that a 1-5 team came and just thoroughly outplayed you. You have two losses, but they were convincing losses. I know it was a 6-point loss, but again, this to me feels like so much like this would have been an undeserved win if somehow a Hail Mary happened at the end or something like that. The Packers were thoroughly outplayed today, and I think the trend of being thoroughly outplayed is something that I'm beginning to get nervous about. But you know,
yeah.
So it goes in the NFL.
Well, the obvious guy is a thing of yours. Another thing of yours that you mentioned, I believe, is a note nug, maybe last week or the week before, was this need for the Packers defense to start generating some turnovers. And I feel like that would have made a big difference in this game. And it was just frustrating to watch all game long. You're just like, you're clenched, you're waiting for a big play, and it just kind of never happens.
Well, in this game in particular, even going into halftime, it felt like that was going to have to happen. Yeah. You know, I mean, you had three possessions in the first half, but technically it was two, because the third one was one that you just sat on and decided not to do anything before the half about, which, if we want to stop there, we can dwell on that. I don't know how you feel about that. There were some exchanges in the game.
Yeah, I texted you at some point during the half just saying, is it too nitpicky to be a little annoyed that the Packers didn't try with that last possession? And I think they had, I don't know, 30 seconds on the clock or something to get into field goal range. You know, it's going to be a one possession game, which it ended up being. I don't know.
I mean, with Mason Crosby's status and the wind, I feel like that was the determining factor. Fair. I would actually say that is a little nitpicky. But I do kind of understand it, because at first I thought they wouldn't do anything, and then they picked up a few yards, and it's like, when the TV shot of the line of scrimmage, you can see midfield, like you could see the G, you kind of immediately think like, hey, you're one, you know, you're like a 18, 20 yard gain and getting out of bounds away from something. But in this weather, I don't think so.
Yeah.
But back to the point of the takeaway, at halftime, you kind of knew going in tied with the Vikings receiving the ball and Dalvin Cook, you know, having his way with the defense, that an extra possession might just come in handy. And those are the things, again, that I think make me a little bit more concerned than I was a few weeks ago when I said Matt LaFleur would be the coach of the year, the Packers should be the one seed. And it is very knee-jerky of me, someone who tries to keep their knees from jerking, maybe more than others. But I do think that, you know, if this starts to be something that we, like, keep, you know, going back to every week, and it's like, oh, another game without a takeaway, like that can bite them in the ass, because all it takes is bad seeding in the playoffs. Yep. And we're getting way ahead of ourselves with the playoffs, and a team that can just keep possession like the Vikings did today and literally not give you enough chances to outscore them, like, and you're toast. Yep. So, and I keep thinking of the Niners, and again, I think that's just like scarring, and we talked about that on last week's podcast, so we don't have to keep talking about San Francisco. But, you know, that happening with Minnesota, you know, I don't like the way that feels.
Yeah.
So, because to me so far, it just seems like the Packers' recipe to wins is to just outscore people, and the only way to prevent that is to just literally give them, you know, as few cracks at it as possible. And this defense does not seem equipped to do that. So,
well, I guess to push back a little bit on the knee jerkiness.
It is very, I know, but
28 points. It feels like a lot to give up. But in the modern NFL, I feel like you're just, most teams are built in a way where you're going to need to score like 30 points is the expectation. And with this Vikings defense coming in with, again, a bunch of, you know, former UPS guys in the secondary, basically, and they lost even more in this game, I thought there's no way the Packers don't score 35 in this game. So first of all, I mean, that's just a credit to Zimmer for overcoming a ton of injuries, and a guy who, you know, we were talking about a couple weeks ago, is he on the hot seat, shows why he is a good coach. I mean, like, I can't name any of those players, and they did their job well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And Devontae Adams had 3 touchdowns, and Zimmer just like can't stop him, which is frustrating. But at the same time, it never, you know, it was never out of control. You know what I mean? Like how it felt out of control with Dalvin Cook, just like having his way with the Packers. Devontae Adams put the points on the board, but it never felt like he was just, you know, there was a lot of three and outs or having to go for it on 4th down, long yarded situations where they got stops and it wasn't just throwing to a wide open Adams. Yeah.
Well, another way I would like to push against the knee jerkiness here, in terms of you were feeling really confident, now you're feeling less confident and highly critical. No Jones in this game, I think, was a big deal. They're getting Lazard back soon, and they need another capable wide receiver, and it's just really starting to show. And so, you know, they play a team like the Texans, who I think are an even worse defense, and they can overcome no Jones, no Bakhtiari, and get it done on offense. But the Vikings, despite their injuries, have some good players, and Zimmer, of course, is a great coach, and it's just, eventually you're going to not be able to overcome those things. And we're getting those players back. And specifically Jones, I think, was just held out just as thinking about the long term. I think he probably could have played in this game. But it's a different team with Jones and Lazard in the game, I guess.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, and speaking of the absence of Lazard, I mean, we did see some opportunities today for Equanimeous St. Brown, two of which didn't go his way, but he did make one pretty important catch. Wondering what you thought about his performance today. Do you give him a break for the... I mean, it's a tough grab, that 3rd down one that hit him in the hands and he dropped. Yeah. And they go right back to him in the end zone. At the first one, I thought you just... It's a difficult catch, but you kind of have to make it. You know, like you just... Yeah. I'm not going to...
How
I feel like I give him a little more, you know, more slack for the one in the end zone, even though that was also a catchable ball. The first one to me is like, you know, your spot on this team, you know, that Lazard is out. You know, that if you want to be around a little while, you just kind of have to make that play. Yeah. You know,
I mean, how
those are the plays that Lazard made to get to the status that he's at now. You know,
I think how I feel about EQ is kind of how it's starting to be similar to MVS in that, like, and I know he's coming back. I know EQ is sort of coming back to health sort of in real time and shaking off the rust. But it's just one, you know, it's a young guy with a very specific set of skills, and you're going out there and they trust you to do something and you're not getting it done like half the time. And if you've got if 3 of your 4 guys are young guys, you need to do something specific and they can't get it done half the time. It's not good enough. So he did have some moments, some good plays. I'm an EQ fan, but you got to put a whole game together. And this would have been a great one to do that.
Yeah. And again, I think we just fall too far into this. Like, we're so used to relying on some of these guys that we're like, okay, come on now, that like we hang on to these like plays they make here, you know, here or there. And if you kind of zoom out, you realize like NFL receivers just do those things, you know?
Yeah,
like,
right.
And sometimes I feel like we give them too much benefit of the doubt. It's, oh, well, he's kind of buried on the depth chart and, you know, they didn't invest a lot in him anyway, but like they're choosing to, you know, populate the field with all of those guys, hoping that one of them just wildly surpasses your expectations, and it's not necessarily happening.
I can't help
that being said.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that being said, kind of a weird receiver game, like Devontae Adams having 3 scores and somehow feeling like he still didn't really go off. Pretty decent tight end game. I mean, if Rodgers hits Jay Sternberger on that one 3rd down, that I feel like almost certainly would have led to direct points. If he doesn't score on that play, they're at least in a chip shot field goal range, or, you know, like getting into the red zone. And Tonyan was very effective. Tonyan, I'm sorry.
Tonyan, thank you.
God, I can't believe I let Burkhart do it right all game, and I'm doing it wrong in our podcast. But Tonyan also with an effective game. Pretty decent tight end game.
Don't worry, Burkhart gave us I believe it was a Jay Steinberger somewhere early in the game.
I think it was the color. It was Daryl Johnson guy. Who had done that. And you can tell because you could tell somebody let him know it wasn't Steinberger. It was
immediately
Steinberger
because
he followed it up immediately after by using his name when he really didn't need
that's
to.
The
like
game,
the next play was starting.
That's the game within the game that I watch. Is I listen for mistakes and then I'm like, did the producer get in his ear? Is he gonna make the correction? But to your point, Tonyan having a pretty good game, 5 catches for 79 yards. Sternberger getting 3 catches for 46 yards, including a crucial one. But also to your point, Davante Adams, 3 touchdowns, very efficient, but only 53 yards.
Yeah, strange. Yeah. Really strange.
But I can't help but feeling, that a guy like Devin Funchess would have been had a couple grabs in this game and maybe made a difference. I don't know. You mentioned like NFL receivers. Is that enough of an NFL receiver? I don't know.
Yeah, he's an NFL receiver. Yeah. He's not guy eligible. So to me, that's like at least NFL receiver. Sorry, to go back to your game within the game thing. One, I feel like this, I can't remember if he said get on the line or get on the ball. At the end, Rodgers so clearly yelling at Jamal Williams, who it's not really his fault because all the receivers when they lined up to spike just stayed on the close, like on the near side of the field.
Yeah.
But I do kind of like in what's probably very clean audio of Rodgers, because it's an empty stadium, yelling, get on the ball, get on the ball. You can play that when I go on these ridiculous tangents and sidetrack the show by
I'll
being way too long winded.
Yeah.
You can drop that in at your leisure.
Yeah, that was a fun moment, even though it did burn like an unnecessary 3 seconds off the clock there. So Will Fuller, are we getting Will Fuller? How do we feel about the trade deadline coming up? We need a receiver, man.
I mean they're looking, right? That's what people are saying. They're like kind of making the calls.
They're shopping.
It's weird to like it is weird to be like they need a receiver because there are some games where they just don't, you know, they're just so effective. This was just a weird crappy game, you know? It was like this game was just totally indicative of what I feel about today as a day. Daylight savings, like you wake up, it feels a little off. I don't know how it is there, but like the weather sucks. I'm super unmotivated and I'm just like, I want to try again. Like I would want to try again tomorrow. Like I wish the Packers just played the Vikings again tomorrow, because I feel like it wouldn't go like that. It was kind of
go
just
a little
crap.
Differently. Well, I won't. The weather's always nice here. So it's like,
oh,
it's
yeah,
like literally 78 degrees and breezy right now.
Except when you guys have those like sand storms. Oh, is there a name for them other than a sandstorm?
Dust with like a dust storm. I don't know. There's hailstorms here. There's weird weather. There's a whole season for just wind, just like sustained gusts of wind.
A lot of wind in the NFL today. I mean, it was wacky. Yeah. I don't know if you saw apparently there was like 50 mile an hour gusts. It was in Cleveland, maybe one of the games. That was another ugly game. I mean, it was just like kind of a stupid NFL day.
Stupid NFL day. And it's only half over.
We kind of need to root for the Seahawks and Niners to get in a little bit of a dogfight. Like we need the Niners to be like gassed at the end, you know, to have to throw their best punch, which I would assume against the Seahawks team they would need to do.
Yeah. Are we changing the topic? Are we putting Pettine out to pasture? How do we feel about our defensive coordinator?
I mean, man, like.
Our buddy Justice Mosqueda, his brand is strong halfway through this game, basically kicking Pettine to the curb, basically with every opportunity. And I saw a lot of piling on Twitter, and I tend to agree at this point, but I wanted to get your take on that. How do we feel?
I mean, it's hard not to feel that. Like, so the whole obvious guy thing, and you know what's coming, like that, how is that not an indictment on coaching?
Yeah.
There are teams that don't have great personnel that can still at the very least limit something, you know?
Yeah.
It's like it's just in a game like that, it's just so clear how it's going and how they're going to try. Like I would have been totally satisfied and probably been a little happier with Pettine if he would have just committed entirely to stopping Dalvin Cook and just taking chances on Cousins throwing the especially in this weather. Like at the beginning of the game, the Packers were totally content playing this like within 10-yard offense, which made a high scoring game kind of boring, to be perfectly honest. And Like the Packers probably should have just dared Cousins to throw. Like that's the thing. They didn't even give Cousins the chance to cousin. Like they didn't. And that to me, it's like no matter your personnel.
They didn't unleash their greatest weapon, allowing Kirk Cousins to play.
Exactly. Just commit to it and sell out, like, and just at least force a third and medium to long, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like we were really high on him when he first came in. And it's just like been downhill since then, right? Like there's very little to get excited about. And the takeaway issue is something also that's, you know, like guys aren't in positions to make dynamic plays very often.
Yeah.
And, or, you know, they're not generating enough pressure to make that happen. And those are things that I think you can coach around.
Rebuttal I want to get to, I tweeted out asking people for their fire Petten pulse check, and Steve on Twitter got back to me and said, as much as I don't like Petten, he's not the one out there missing 5+ open field tackles in a row and whiffing on Cook in the backfield. The defense cannot tackle. Now, I think Cook is a special kind of player. He's very slippery. He's hard to tackle for any team, but I'm not going to stand by this team's tackling. It's bad.
No.
It's really bad. And that's, it's ultimately it's Petten's responsibility, but is it his fault per se that the guys can't wrap up? No, I don't think so.
I think things like that, you know, things that have been coached in you, like certain technique and things like that, since you were like many Pop of these Warner. Guys were playing, you know, preteens Pop Warner football, like that. What do you expect him to do? You know, you want him to run like tackling drills during the week? Like that's just not what the NFL is, you know. Yeah. But first, it is weird that it seems consistent for a Packer team that has had, you know, many, you know, it's different personnel, it's different coaching, it's different everything, but it feels like it's just always kind of been there. I don't know. Maybe it's the cold, man. But that also is totally goes against like everything the AFC North is all about, right? With like the Steelers and Ravens. But to your point with how hard Dalvin Cook is to tackle in general, like, what the play that stood out to me the most was I felt like the one time that somebody actually really like was just like, all right, I'm giving my body to stopping Dalvin Cook, because when Adrian Amos came screaming downhill and laid like a huge hit on Dalvin Cook towards the end of the game, and he came up a yard short of the first down, and Cook like contorted his body, got so low, and then backed, like was then just basically backpedaling with like two Packers trying to prevent him from getting the first down.
Yeah.
And he stayed on his feet. Stuff. Like, what do you want these guys to do? It's brutal, man. But the tackling problem is a problem. It's a big one. And one that I think is going to be either something where, you know, that's going to play a role on Thursday night. That's for sure.
Yeah. I also tweeted this out during the game. I feel like basically for my entire life of watching Packers football, I've been nervous for every third and long, because it feels like they blow them like 2/3 of the time. And that's a little reductive, and I don't have stats in front of me, but that's how it feels watching these games. It's not fun.
Yeah. I would run a lot of third and long screens against the Packers. Like I think the more people watch film on this defense, they'll kind of just see that. And they'll be like, I don't have a huge issue throwing short of the sticks and daring these guys to make a stop.
Yeah. Yeah. What else can we talk about here? I guess at the risk of being screw the refs guy, I thought that this was a pretty poorly officiated game. Do you think that's fair?
I do. I think it sounds like we're being sour. I would say, you know, it at the very least was inconsistent.
Yeah.
Right? Like the pass interference call that they picked up.
Oh, my God.
I'm struggling to understand how that happens, because it's not like it got reviewed and then they picked it up. It got picked up before it could go to review and thus couldn't go to a review.
Right.
And it's like that guy threw that flag for a reason.
Yeah.
And then when we see the replay, it ticked almost every PI box.
Yeah, it looked even worse on replay.
It looked way worse on replay because he was not looking for the ball or really playing the ball, had his you know, left arm or whatever it was hooked around the hip, and then his right arm came across the catch point without making contact with the ball, and only the hands prior to the ball arriving. So it's like any one of those things could result in PI, and all three of them together should definitely be. And there were a couple of instances like that where you just like, or even like a positive thing would happen for the Packers and you're just like waiting to see the flag thing pop up on the scoreboard. And it would just be like a ticky-tacky holding call or something like that, that the things that can get called every play. It felt very inconsistent to me.
Yep. Was Rodgers arm moving forward there at the end?
No, I really don't think so. I was really hopeful. I'm really glad they overturned the Jamal Williams two-point conversion, because for a second I didn't think they were going to.
Yeah.
So that was the right, what felt like, that felt the, like right the right call.
Yeah.
Which was good. I don't think his arm was moving forward. I thought it was kind of weird that he didn't sense that, I guess. But at the same time, I can't blame him if he's like, you got three guys to block. Like I feel like every time he's in Hail Mary mode, he pretty much knows like he's got the time, and this time he just didn't.
I mean, I feel like the defender was in the perfect blind spot at like the right behind his helmet. So I don't know if it was you or our buddy Ben Foldy in our text who said that if there were fans in the stands, he might have actually felt that guy coming, because you can almost, there's that sort of the swelling, the movement to the noise in the crowd kind of lets you know what's happening elsewhere on the field. And so maybe that goes differently. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was Ben who texted that. That's an interesting point. Also kind of interesting with the fan thing, if that plays into like not getting the hometown calls. I think that consistently throughout sports with empty stadiums, one thing people have said is it's not like the fans yelling that is distracting the opposing team, but rather just like the referees are less inclined to make calls.
Yeah.
So maybe that's kind of why at Lambeau Field, we felt like there were some kind of shit calls, but yeah, I don't know. But also in an empty stadium, like, couldn't you hear him breathing or like his actual footsteps?
His,
you know,
footsteps.
Like,
yeah.
I
right.
don't know. Like, say, oh, I heard footsteps. Like, no, you don't hear that shit in real games, but in this game, maybe you actually do when there's a giant man running. I assume his feet are pretty heavy.
Yeah, you'd think so.
It's that soft Lambeau turf.
All right. Any other takeaways here? As we sort of we got a quick turnaround here, going to San Fran in like 14 hours, I guess, which feels unfair. And
it does feel unfair, right? I don't know. I was trying to think of like the stages of the game. I was watching the game. I was like, oh, this is actually interesting. This is interesting, and then I sort of just forget. I mean, it's nice to see their trend of scoring early continue. It's just they didn't have enough chances, and then got into that weird out of rhythm Aaron Rodgers mode where it's just like totally out of sync, and you can tell they just seem like a team that needs to be on schedule, you know. Yeah. as soon as they drift a little off the tracks, you know, that train like can't necessarily get back on the track. Yeah, and that's kind of
it. Seemed like
a
team that needs Aaron Jones back.
Yeah, then that would have went a long way too, right? I mean, he's a threat in every phase of your offense. You know, it's nice to get Tyler Irvin back, who does, I don't know if there's a guy in football who does more running because of all the motion he does.
Like, while touching the ball less.
And has less to show for it, you know? And I almost feel like
professional sprinter.
He dropped that one little, it was an incomplete pass, but it was like a little, you know, shovel. It's not even a shovel pass. I don't know what you call that.
Yeah. A dink. The
I guess
dink
that
and
is
dink
a shovel
and dunk.
Pass.
Yeah.
And then they immediately threw to him the next play, and it was kind of a bad throw from Rodgers. It was another incompletion. You just felt like that was like, Matt LaFleur was like, okay, this is when I now give him an actual touch.
Yeah.
It's just like, and then I force it to him the next play.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I think we mentioned this in the our group chat as well, but it didn't necessarily end up mattering in this game, but he does help the run game be like, the motion does help. You know, I think we might be overrating him as a player, but because of his speed threat and what he, like, you know, the potential that he could eventually get the ball on some of these motions, does help the effectiveness. Cause early on it looked like a game where Jamal Williams might, you know, put up like a real nice game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think that early on you saw Irvin, you know, able to, you know, he enabled Matt LaFleur to get some of that motion involved in the game. And so like last week we saw, Williams without any of the motion, it was just power running up the gut. And in this game, we saw a little bit of that outside zone because you were able to, with Irvin, kind of open up the outside a little bit. But I do feel like they went away from that. And so you saw some of that motion early. And then I feel like we didn't see as much later in the game. Maybe that's just me. But I don't know, man. I just kind of want to forget about this game.
Yeah, me too. I just felt like it would have. A win would have just ended Minnesota's season, you know, which I was just kind of looking forward to. Like, that's just like a box I want to check. You know, I just want to be like, okay, next. Now I need to root against the Bears. Not that I feel like Minnesota is going to put together some crazy comeback and, you know, be like a threat to win the division. But it just felt like we could have closed the chapter.
Yeah.
And it was a big missed opportunity not to be able to do that on your home field in a game where that looked pretty promising early on. But they're a different team with Dalvin Cook. Who knows? I mean, they could. There's an extra playoff spot. I know they talked about that on the broadcast. Maybe they're that team that sneaks in.
Yeah, maybe. The Vikings are a different team with Dalvin Cook. The Packers are a different team without Aaron Jones. And let's just drink another beer, watch some afternoon football, and forget about this one. I think that's a good place to leave it.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. We'll turn on the red zone, maybe nap a little. Unless we get
snap to some red zone,
unless we get some fireworks in the Seahawks game. I feel like, yeah, by the way, how is America's Game of the Week Bears Saints?
A travesty.
Are the Seahawks, and I don't know this because I haven't sat down because we went to do this right at kickoff, but Seahawks Niners, is that like the random NFC game that CBS gets and that's why it's not Fox's America's Game of the Week? Like, who would ever look at those two games on paper and be like, oh, Saints Bears, man, that's the one.
Well, yeah, meanwhile, the Seahawks game should be Sunday Night Football and it's not. And what's the Sunday Night Football slot? Isn't it like the Eagles or something? Something terrible?
It's Philly. I forgot who they're playing. Oh, Philly Dallas. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
First place on the line between these two playoff contenders. Oh, my God. Just brutal.
Two major market teams who absolutely suck.
Yeah.
Here you go, America.
Oh, if Zimmer doesn't make it through this season, right, if the Vikings, like, this is their win, this is, like, their last hurrah, and they just, like, you know, just go through the rest of the year, win here, three losses there. I don't know why, but, like, Zimmer just seems like he's going to be coordinating Mike McCarthy's defense in Dallas. Can't you just see that? Like, can't you just – I could totally see that.
Well, he might save his job if he does that.
He'll be coordinating somewhere, for sure, because he is a good coach. But or maybe he'll still be in Minnesota, and they'll still be thinking
maybe
that
he'll stick around.
That Cousins and Zimmer are going to be the ones to lead them to the glory. But
well, you know, we chatted with Arif Hassan a couple days ago, and we talked about the Yannick Ngakoue move and then unmove, and he said that basically to him that was all evidence of the coach and GM being given some assurances that, like, they'll make it through this year and be around for at least another year, because it seemed a little bit like a team building move and then a cap saving move and cutting your losses and
so yeah,
go take a nap and watch some red zone.
Sounds great. Yeah. Maybe wake up, order some food. It's a great way to try to erase the memory of this game.
Indeed. Well, thank you for joining me at Alex Patakis on Twitter. I'm at Zach Rapport. We'll be back in a couple days here to, I guess, talk even more about this terrible game. Get some note nugs from you guys, notable nuggets at the APC pod on Twitter, and maybe try to do a little bit of a look ahead to the dreaded San Francisco 49ers before we all unfairly are made to watch football again on Thursday night. And, until then, I'm going to hit the outro music. Drink some beer, take a nap, watch some red zone.
Quick turnaround, rest up. Big night Tuesday night, big night Thursday night, big week. God bless us. Okay. Oh, man.